Hello, hi, this is Dr. Sudip Mohandas from iFirst International. I'm the co-founder and managing director. I have with me today a very lovely person called Abir. Hi, Abir.
Hi, Sudip. How are you?
Good to have you with me here today in our program. Today we're going to talk a little bit about something that you've been passionate about and you've been doing a lot, and that's your involvement with Lean In.
Yes.
Maybe you'd like to start off, Abir, by just sharing with us about how that happened.
Okay. So Lean In came about 5 years ago when I came back from studies. So I studied in the UK for my degree and my master's. I did my degree in actuarial science in Wales, and then right after that I continued to do my master's in actuarial management at Carr's Business School, London. And my whole life I grew up with my mom telling me that I can be anything that I want to be in life, regardless of my gender or skin color. But when I came back to this society, when I came back to Malaysia, you know how very cultured the Malaysian society is. I was quite surprised to the fact that the way people think here are still in a way that puts women in a box. That means they stereotype women. So when I came back about 5 to 6 years ago, I was asked questions like, where do I see myself in 5 to 6 years time? And my answer back then and until today was only consisting of career. Until the kind of feedbacks that I got from those who asked me were like, oh, what's wrong with you? They actually did say that, like, what's wrong with you? How come you don't want to have a family by 28 or 29? Don't you want to have kids by 30? And, you know, that really, you know, because I came up with a string of achievements, and I got first class in my degree, and I was under the King Scholarship and all that. So I would think that they would be proud enough, you know, upon me returning, and I was going to, you know, set myself to be someone in the professional world. And when I got this kind of feedbacks, you know, the things that my mom told me was something that I never prepared. You know, to face, like, what's wrong with me? Am I not normal? Am I not ordinary? Am I supposed to be something else? That really happened, you know, Sudip. And that was when, you know, I looked around for a support system, sort of. I looked around for answers, because I think it's not just happening to me, but it was also happening to my girlfriends at that age. When we came back, we were like 23 and 24. You would be surprised that some of my friends who are chartered accountants, who sat through the exams and got qualified, you know, we were at that age when we were told by society whether, you know, we're supposed to have a family or have a career. We were really at a crossroads, because when we see things on social media, a lot of times, a lot of us tend to be influenced by the kind of ideal life. You know, okay, you know, you just came back and then you are educated. The next step that you need to take is have a family. But for me personally, I don't think the steps that you need to take for a woman, for a girl, needs to be stereotyped or needs to be boxed, needs to be put into a template. But then my friends and I were going through this kind of scenarios, to the fact that during our first 2 years when we came back, some of them actually said that they wanted to resign because their husbands won't allow them to be at work, and instead their husbands would want them to be at home to prepare for dinner.
I mean, this seems to have, in my mind, has triggered a lot of things, and it appears to be the common thing that's even happening till this present day. And so how did this all turn around in your mind eventually to where you are and Lean In?
Yeah, so I was going to get to the whole why Lean In happened. It was because of all these questions that was happening to me and my friends and all. So as I mentioned earlier, I was looking around for a support system. I wanted to ask people who have done it all, who have done it in a way that they are successful in their career, and at the same time they have got, like, you know, they have got a family as well. But I wanted to know what is right for a woman, you know, for a young woman like me, to start her life upon coming back. And then that was when I came across the book Lean In. You know, Sheryl Sandberg, who is the CEO of Facebook, she wrote the book together with her other co-founders called Women Work and the Will to Lead. So a lot of things that were expressed in the book were very relatable to the fact that how women could thrive in this day and age, because the kind of stereotypes that we're being put in the society, especially in this cultured society, is not the way to go anymore. And I feel that I feel that the book was saying a lot to most of my co-founders and we came together it started off with just a book club session where we got together over coffee to talk about like what our issues were. And at the same time, we were also celebrating success stories together. And from that book club, it turned out to be, you know, a platform, an organization from a member, from a, you know, from a six people coming together to talk about like issues. It became like a proper organization of 30 people running it as a platform. And then now it has grown to become to have more than 5,000 members in the country, and we are a network of more than 300,000 members across the Asia region.
Amazing, that's really amazing.
So that all came about like 5 to 6 years ago, and little did I know that I was gonna have this platform that really changed the lives of a lot of not just young women but also young men in this society. Because I feel that we are close to the year of 2020. The kind of stereotypes that we have been put in should be eradicated from the society, and we should be allowed to be the best versions of ourselves. So that's why Linin has, from that book club, as I mentioned earlier, it's become Linin Malaysia. And about 3 to 4 years ago, Sheryl Sandberg appointed Sarah Chen and myself as the regional leaders. And we have met a lot of people from all walks of life, and we have come out with a lot of accelerators, a lot of programs to not just talk about it but also to walk the talk.
That's really, really impressive, and I think that sets in itself a lot of elements that for the youngsters today to understand where you're coming from. Perhaps you'd like to tell us a little bit more about where Linin is moving, and in that context also I'd like to say, is it more just focus on the women, or are the men also included?
So when we started off, it was, of course, all of us are doing this on part-time basis. We are a non-profit establishment that educates, enables, and empowers women to harness their fullest potential to be the change makers for an equal world in the society. So that's what we thought about, when we got together, because we wanted to just champion women. It was relatable to those founding members, because we were working at the same time. We're a bunch of professional women who want to do more in life, and that's why when we first started off, we wanted to just target the professional women in the workforce, and we wanted to look at how we can help each other to retain in the workforce and also to get more women back to the society to the workforce. So these were the two prong objectives that we started off as Linin Malaysia to begin with. But as the year developed, we got a lot of feedbacks from all the other parts of society, especially from men as well, who would attend our events and programs. And when we asked them why were they there, and they told us that they wanted to find ways to empower and support their wives and sisters at home. And we felt that, hey, by the end of the day, when you talk about women being stereotyped, it's not about just women but also about men being stereotyped. Because a lot of times when you talk about stereotype, it's about putting people in a box. And you know how women are being told to be like, to get married at a certain age, and to be told to act in a particular way, especially at work. We're supposed to be more feminine and all that. We're not supposed to actually be like men and all that. But at the same time, you would be surprised that men are also being stereotyped, because there is a certain way that society sort of like perceive men, in terms of the kind of masculinity that they can embrace and possess. So by the end of the day, we felt that Linin Malaysia is an inclusive platform where we want to make sure that there is diversity, but at the same time we want to include men to be part of the conversation.
And how does this differ from all the other women-based organizations that are prevalent in Malaysia or elsewhere?
So the thing that sets us apart when we came together was the fact that there was no other platforms that were really focusing on women in the workplace. So a lot of platforms that were around 5 to 6 years ago, the fact that I was looking around for a support system and there was none to begin with, there are platforms such as Women AIDS Organization, Now WAME, and a lot more, but none that actually champion women at work. and we wanted to focus on at the age range of 20 to 40, and especially for younger women, because what we found based on statistics is that a lot of women, they would start to enter the workforce in their early 20s, and then comes 30 when they start their family and all that, then they would drop out of the workforce and they don't re-enter. But the same thing is not happening in our our neighboring countries such as Japan, South Korea and also Singapore, whereby you'd be able to see a double peak graph instead of a single peak graph. And so we felt that that makes business sense, that makes a case study for us to champion women at work. And a lot of times our social circle of friends are those women who are just starting their career and they want to do more than just being a mother. You know, we want to be able to be the best versions of ourselves and not being put in a box. So that is our unique selling proposition, whereby Lean In Malaysia champions women at work, and we want to focus on how we can be the best versions of ourselves, but not just in the corporate sector, but also people, women, men, women who start their businesses and all that. And if you look around, there are no platforms that currently focus on this kind of target market, and that sets us apart compared to the other platforms that focuses more on domestic kind of issues as compared to women in the workplace. But at the same time, Lean In Malaysia, we sort of like complete the whole pipeline, because then you see organizations such as 30% Club, the Lead Women, there's 30% Club and the Lead Women. So whereby these organizations would focus more on women on board, but we focus more on the pipeline from the executive level to the mid-management level, and then we work together closely with all these other organizations and we complete an ecosystem. So, you know, that makes Lean In Malaysia very unique, because by the end of the day, you're looking at a workforce that would be filled with millennials by 2050, and that is 50% of the workforce that will be filled by millennials. And who are the millennials? These are the young women who are exactly the demographic that we are working on. So we are preparing them to be able to retain in the workforce and to come back to the workforce if, let's say, they were to take a career break. And we don't just work by ourselves, but we work closely with other organizations as well.
And how does this, maybe you just share a little bit about the fact that you've been your co-founder of Lean In Malaysia. What are some of the challenges as a co-founder in actually establishing this? And how old is it?
Some of the main challenges as the co-founder, I think when we first started off, both Saracha and myself, we didn't think it was going to be at a level that it is today, especially that, you know, you have more than 5,000 members in the country. You know, people who keep on coming to you and asking you that they want to be part of the platform. When we started off, it was just a very comfortable a group of women, just 5 to 6 of us, who knew that when we want to do programs, we could do it at a very comfortable number, like 20 to 30, and we didn't think it was going to go up from 50 to 100 to 1,000. And that was when, and we were doing it on voluntary basis, so we had to prioritize the things in our life, because the platform, the committee members, the team itself consists of not just single women, but also working mothers, single mothers, and we are a whole ecosystem of women in there, and our priorities are different. So being a co-founder, it was really difficult for both my co-founder and I to reach a balance on how we can meet the needs of everyone who is part of the platform, especially our committee member, because the moment you enter a platform on voluntary basis, that means you do have an agenda, and that means you do have your own need. What do you want out of it? And what I want out of Lean In Malaysia is different than what they want out of Lean In Malaysia. So it was hard for us to make sure that we come out with a consensus by the end of the day. What is our vision? What is our mission? And when we first started out, it was okay for the first 2 years. We were just like going ahead. We were all in. We didn't think about the kind of administration work that needed to be looked at, the kind of governance and structure that needed to be looked at. We didn't even think it was going to be as big as it is today. And because we did not look at that during the first 2 years, it has created a backlog by the end. And we knew that in order for us to be sustainable in the next 5 to 10 years, we needed these things to be structured instead of just, you know, for it to be a book club. We had to make it into a proper organization. you know, we had to start looking at like our income tax and our non-profit status. We had to look at what is our mission and vision by the end of the day, how are we able to sustain ourselves in the next 10 years. We were running around in the first 2 years to raise funds, but was it enough to make sure that we can run for the next 10 years at the same pace, the kind of momentum? So those are the kind of challenges that Sarah Chan and myself faced. But you know, over the years we didn't really stress ourselves out on this kind of issues because we knew that we had to be kind to ourselves at the same time, right? Because you can do just as much, and the fact that you have these kind of problems are good problems, right? That means that you're doing the right thing. If you don't start thinking about all this, that means you're not, like, you don't have your heart into this. And a lot of times people want to start something on a non-profit basis thinking that they don't, you know, they raise funds, but the structure is quite different. By the end of the day, your stakeholders, the people that you raise funds from, your sponsors would want to see impact reports, you know, and all these things. It's not easy running a voluntary non-profit establishment besides your work, besides your full-time job. So those are the kind of things that Sarah Chan and myself struggle. Besides all these things that I mentioned, our meetings as well kept on, you know, it was hard to meet up on a consistent basis, and people come and go. And we wanted to make sure that those in the main committee is going to be there for at least 1 year. But the kind of requests that we receive over the years is the kind of request that, hey, I want to volunteer. But they want to volunteer only for 1 day. But we want your volunteer and your commitment for a whole year. So, but at the same time, we didn't want to, we didn't want to push anyone away. We wanted to accept and include everyone into the platform. It is still a struggle up until today, if you are to ask me. But, you know, we're slowly getting there. Yeah.
Well, that's really excellent. I think we can carry on this conversation through the night. Yeah. So, thank you very much, Abe, for your insights and your valuable inputs into this. I like the point where you talked about, you know, there's this issue about, you know, putting stereotyping and putting things in the box. I guess my complaint is, we got to get rid of the box in the first place, right? You know, and that's, I think that's one of the issues. So with that, I'd like to thank you again, Abe, for the participating in this program. Mm-hmm. To all our listeners out there, please join us and have a listen to Abe and her amazing insights at www.ifirstinternational.com.